The fourth parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph, which discusses the duchening, the nesius kapayim of the Kohanim, in particular on fast days, and we will extrapolate to that from that to other areas during the year. So the Mishnah says, "Bishlosha parakim b'shana," there were three times during the year, Kohanim nosim es kapayim arba pamim bayom, that Kohanim, literally, they would duchen four times during the day. It's actually up to four times during the day. It's only Yom Kippur, as we'll see shortly, that they actually duchen the full four times of the day. Other times, specific times during the year, it would be three times, up to three times on those days. So in general, the halacha is that Kohanim, whenever there's a Chazarat HaShatz, they should be duchening. That's what we have in Eretz Yisrael, but it's only for a weekday during Shacharis when we have Chazarat HaShatz. Why not Mincha? So in fact, the reason that there is not Nesius Kapayim at Mincha, fundamentally there should be, but we're concerned that because people have eaten their lunches before, we're concerned they may have had alcohol, Shichrus, being a little bit drunk or a lot drunk, it is prohibited to duchen, also prohibited in Isra del Raisa to at the time of the Beis HaMikdash to do the Avoda, the coin to do the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash when he had drunk. So accordingly, we are noeg to not doing for Mincha, only Shachas, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when we have Musaf, we have duchening then as well. It's a different issue in Chutz La'aretz, and it's an interesting sugya why it's not done by Ashkenazim during Shacharis, even in Chutz La'aretz. But Mi'ikar Adin, it should be done, but there are historical reasons why it's not done. But so we're talking about the Mi'ikar Adin here, that on a regular day it should be done in Mincha, but we don't because of the concern of drinking. But on a fast day, when people aren't drinking because they're fasting, for the most part, it should be done. There are different minhagim when it comes to what time nowadays, if you do davening mincha early or later. We won't get into those details, but fundamentally, that's a background necessary for our Mishnah that says as follows, B'shlosha prokim b'shana, there are three times in the year, kohanim nosim es kapayim, that they do duchen up to four times ad arba pamim bayom, and they are b'shachris, they duchen at shachris, on those days that it is b'musav, this is talking about Yom Kippur, ube mincha, ube ni'ila sharim, and ni'ila. So when are these days that they would duchen either three times for shachris and mincha and ni'ila, or four times add on musaf to that? So the three times were batanios on these days that we're talking about, on the fast days that they would duchen on shachris, they would not have musaf, and mincha and ni'ila, and also b'ma'amados, the ma'amar anshei ma'amar, we're going to talk about that starting in the next Mishnah, but just on a high level, these were the people that were appointed when there were, on every day, there were people who were appointed from the Tzibur, Yisraelim, that they were the representatives of Klal Yisrael to be davening for acceptance of the korbanos that were brought on behalf of the public. So that was their responsibility, and accordingly, they used to daven not only the standard shacharis and mincha, but also ne'ila. So on those days that people were responsible, they were part of the ma'amad, they were the anshei ma'amad, they had duchening three times because there was chazarat hashatz for shachris and mincha and also ne'ila. And the last of those is Yom HaKippurim. That is the specific, the one day that there would be duchening four times. There would be duchening for shachris and musaf and mincha and ne'ila as well. Mishnah Veis builds on Mishnah Aleph, where we mentioned the Ma'amados, which were groups of people that would come to daven that the korbanos of the tzibur should be accepted. So in Mishnah Veis, now we're going to say Eilu Hen Ma'amados. What is the purpose of these Ma'amados? So now we're going to go into detail who was made up of the Ma'amados and what was the purpose of them. So the Mishnah continues Lefi Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk when it talks about the korban tamid, Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lemes korbani lachmi, you should command Klal Yisrael when bringing the korban tamid. And then we see in this pasuk, and we're about to see in the drasha based on it, what does it mean that you should command Klal Yisrael as the owners of the korban tamid? There's a halacha that when you have an owner of a korban, they have to be at the base of mikdash when that korban is being brought for them. B'chi heyach korbano shel adam karav, how is it possible that the korban of somebody is being brought in the base of mikdash? V'hu eino omed al gabav, and the owner, the donor of that korban is not standing there when it's being brought. Accordingly, all of Klal Yisrael should be standing in the base of Mikdash when the Korban Tamid and the Korban Musaf is also brought. Accordingly, that's not realistic to have all of Klal Yisrael standing there each and every day. Hiskinu Nevim Rishonim, the Nevim Rishonim, which were Shmuel and David, Esrim V'Arba Mishmaros, they said we're going to divide up the Kohanim, the Levim, and also the Yisraelim into 24 different groups called the Mishmaros, and they're each going to serve a week at a time on rotation. So 24 groups of each of them, and so the Kohanim, Levim, Yisrael, they would have one group, and they would serve 1 week, and then group two and group three, etc. Called Mishmar, Mishmar, for each of those weekly groupings. Haya Ma'amad Yerushalayim, there was a Ma'amad, there was a group that would go up, a gathering in Yerushalayim of Shel Kohanim, Shel Levim, certainly of Kohanim and Levim, but also some Bishal Yisraelim, and also some Yisraelim, not all the Yisraelim, but the representatives of the Yisraelim would go, as we're about to see shortly. Higiyazman HaMishmar Lalot, it was that weekly appointed time. You were on this week, 24 groupings, and it was your grouping to go up. Kohanim Ulevim Olim Yerushalayim, Kohanim and Levim throughout Eretz Yisrael, they were their appointed. That was their time to go. They would go up to Yerushalayim to serve their week, and also the Yisraelim who were close or in Yerushalayim would be there as well at the base of Mikdash. They would representative all the rest of the Yisraelim, but not all the Yisraelim had to go up to Yerushalayim like the Kohanim and Levim. And continuing, the Yisraelim Shabaosu Mishmar, then the Yisraelim who were further away, that weren't close by, so they weren't in Yerushalayim to be on for that week. Israel Shabaosu Mishmar, those who were further away, but they were part of the Mishmar for that given week, Mitkansim La'areim, they would gather together in the shuls in their respective cities, Vikorim Bamasa Bereshis, and one of the things that they would do, including the fast days that we referred to in the prior Mishnah, they would be fasting on their Ma'amad, but they would also have Kriya Satorah. And the reason for the Kriya Satorah, reading specifically from Maaseh Bereishis, the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, is to teach them and to inculcate into them the thoughts that in the schus of the korbanos that they are responsible for, that is why the world exists. So that's why we read from Bereishis. In fact, this is a Mishnah, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omed, very famous Mishnah, Al HaTorah V'Al HaAvodah, because the Avoda in the base of Mikdash, nowadays it's our davening, but the Me'ikar Adin, it's the Avoda in the base of Mikdash, that is Al Olam Omed, that is why the world exists. Mishnah Gimel is a continuation. Va'anshei ha-ma'amad hayu mis'anim arba'a yamim b'shavua. The anshei ma'amad, those Yisraelim, during their appointed week, one out of 24 weeks on a rotation, so they were one of the 24 grouping, it was their week, they would fast 4 days during that week. We're talking about both the anshei ha-ma'amad, who were outside of Eretz Yisrael, who we just discussed in the prior Mishnah, who would go to shul and have this special laning from Maaseh Bereishis, and also those who were in the Beis HaMikdash at their appointed time, watching over the bringing of the Korbanos Tzibur on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So they would all fast 4 days in the week, not at night, but during the daytime. Miyom Sheni Vad Yom Chamishi, from Monday until Thursday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 days. Flo Hayu Misani Merav Shabbos. On Friday, they wouldn't fast. Mine Kavod HaShabbos. That's not Kavod HaShabbos, to come into Shabbos starving. Velo Echad B'Shabbos. Also on Sunday, they would not fast. Kedei Shelo Yetzu Menucha V'Oneg. So they should not depart from the restfulness and the Oneg of Shabbos into directly Liyagi, into toil, V'Tainis, and fasting. That would certainly weaken them, v'yamusu, and risk their passing away. So that wouldn't be a good idea. So Sunday was not a fast day. Erev Shabbos was not a fast day. That left Monday through Thursday. And in addition to the fasting, and they would also be davening that the Korban HaTzibur be accepted, as we mentioned before, they had a Kriya Satorah. So the Kriya Satorah, again, as we mentioned at the end of the prior Mishnah, was from Maaseh Bereishis. And now we're going to go into detail as to what was read. And as we'll see shortly, each of the days, they used to read two paragraphs from the beginning of Bereishis, and in fact, the days overlap. So in other words, the first day they read paragraphs 1 and 2, and day number 2, they read paragraphs 2 and 3 in Bereishis. So they would always read the second paragraph from the prior day and then go forward with another paragraph. So that's what the Mishnah says now by Yom HaRishon on the first day on Sunday. They read Bereishis, the first paragraph, and Vivaikriya, the second paragraph, and Basheni on Monday. They read again Yehi Rakia, and then the next paragraph, Vikavu Amayim, and Bashlishi on Tuesday. They repeated Yekavu Amayim from the prior day, and Viya Me'oros, Barvi. They reread Yehi Me'oros, and then went on to the next one, Vishritsu Hamayim. Bechamishi on Thursday, Yishritsu Hamayim, and Vitotze Aretz, and Bashishi. They repeated Vitotze Aretz, and then they got to Vayechulu Hashamayim. Now they had these two paragraphs read every day, but they had three people taking aliyah, so there were three olim. So how did they divide up the two paragraphs for three people getting aliyahs? So the Mishnah continues, Parsha Gedola, when we add those two paragraphs, the longer of the two paragraphs, Korin also Bishnaim, it was divided into two, and there had to be a minimum of three psukim for each person. So if, when dividing it into two, if there were less than three psukim for each, they would repeat psukim, that's fine. For example, if there were five psukim, they would repeat the third pusuk. That would go for the first person with aliyah and the second one getting the aliyah from that same paragraph. So Parsha Gedolah, the larger the two paragraphs that we're reading on a given day, Korin also Bishnaim, they would divide it between two pivaktana, and the smaller of the two paragraphs, biyachid, one person would read that. Beshachris uva musa, both on Shachris, and if it was a day that was there was a musa, for example, if it was a Rosh Chodesh, they would also have a laning. So the laning was two times, and as we'll see, three times during the day. So Shachris, they would have the special laning. They would repeat it if it was a day of Musaf uva mincha, and at mincha time nichnasim v'korin al pihen kekorin eshema. They would also go to the shul to have the Kriya Satorah, but they would not take out the Sefer Torah. They would read it by heart as if they're reading the Kriya Shema, because they were pretty exhausted from fasting, especially 4 days in a row. So they would have rachmanas on the Anshei Mama. They wouldn't have to take the Sefer Torah out and read from the Sefer Torah. Just read it by heart. Erev Shabbos b'mincha lo yu nichnasim. When it came to Erev Shabbos mincha, there was no laning nimnei kavod Shabbos, because of the kavod Shabbos. In other words, because people were so involved in preparing for Shabbos, that would delay them in their Shabbos preparations, that would take away some of the kavod Shabbos. Accordingly, there was no laning by the Anshei Ma'amad on Erev Shabbos at mincha time. Mishnah Dalet is going to give us more information about the Anshei Ma'amad. Those were the Yisraelim that were either in the Beis HaMikdash helping out with the various karbonos that were brought on behalf of the Tzibor, and these Yisraelim were the representatives of the Tzibor, or for those Yisraelim that did not come up to Yerushalayim, they would have similar events going on in their cities, in the shuls. And what would be going on, whether for those Yisraelim who came to the Beis HaMikdash for the week that they were on duty, or those that were outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they would have special Kriyas HaTorah, as we mentioned, and in addition, they would have special tefillas requesting that their korbanos be accepted. In addition, they added on an additional tefillah. They didn't only daven Shachris and Mincha during the day, but they also had a special Ne'ilah service. So what we're going to see in our Mishnah, that there were certain times that at those tefillahs, they would do away with what we'll call the ma'amad, the special Kriya Satorah and the special tefillahs, because they were too busy. For example, the most simple example would be if they had halal on a given day. For example, it was Hanukkah, and they had a full halal. It's not going to apply to Rosh Chodesh, because that's a minhag, that's a half halal, but a full halal, because they were so busy on the day, and in the time of Shacharis with what's going on, they wouldn't have time for both the Ma'amad, Kriya Satorah, and Tfilas, and the Halal, so they would only say the Halal. And we'll see when different things happened in the day. For example, when they had a Korban Musaf, that would be on a Rosh Chodesh, for example, they would also do away with the Ma'amad and the other Tfilas. So the default was that they would have the Ma'amad, meaning the Kriya Satorah and the special Tfilas at each of Shacharis, Mincha, and Ne'ilah, but other things would take priority. There wouldn't be time for everything, and we'll see that the Ma'amad was dispensed with on certain days. So kol yom sheyesh bo halal, every day that there was a halal, for example, Chanukah, they would say halal and Shachris, ain ba ma'amad b'shachris. They would do it the way the ma'amad for Shachris, Korban Musaf, on days that there was a Korban Musaf that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, so the people, the Israelim, were involved with the Korban Musaf. Accordingly, they had more limited times for the Kriyas HaTorah and for the actual tefillahs that we'd be adding, ain bo b'me'ila. They would get rid of the ma'amad for, literally for ne'ila, but it doesn't mean only for ne'ila, even ne'ila. In other words, they would not say the ma'amad, that's the special Kriyas HaTorah and their special tefillahs, not only on ne'ila, but also for Musaf and Mincha as well. So they wouldn't have the Ma'amad on a day that there was Musaf. They wouldn't have it for Musaf, they wouldn't have it for Mincha, and they would not have it for Ne'ilah as well. And at the day that there was a special Korban Eitzim, we'll get into this in a little bit more detail in the next Mishnah, but on a high level, there were 9 designated days during the year that various, either Kohanim or Levim, Yisraelim, had the right, the privilege to bring additional wood to the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll explain that a little bit later. So that was a special day for those families that had that privilege. They would bring a Korban Ola during that day. It's called the Korban Eitzim, their designated day during the year to bring the Eitzim, to donate the Eitzim to the Beis HaMikdash. So on those days that there was a Korban Eitzim, those 9 days of the year, Ein bo b'mincha, there would not be the ma'amad during tefillas ha-mincha. There would be during ne'ila, but just during mincha, because the ma'amad, anshei ma'amad, would be involved in the various needs of the korban ola, that was called the korban eitzim. Then, accordingly, there was not in time during the mincha for the ma'amad as well, so they would dispense with the laning and the special tefillahs for Mincha Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the view of Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo ben Azai, so Rabbi ben Azai responds back to Rabbi Akiva. Kachaya Rabbi Yeshua Shona. Rabbi Yeshua had a different take on this. Rabbi Yeshua agreed with the concept that when you have Halal during Shachris, you do away with the Ma'amad. However, if there's a day that's a Korban Musaf, he disagrees with you. You are of the view that when you have a Korban Musaf, you do away with the Ma'amad, the special tefillahs and the Kriyas HaTorah during Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ila. Rabbi Yeshua has a different take. He was of the view that when we had a Korban Musaf, Ein Bo Mincha, he would only do away with the Ma'amad during Mincha, but indeed, during the other times, you would have the Ma'amad, and he was of the view that when you had a Korban Eitzim, Ein Bo Ne'ilah, when you had the Korban Eitzim, that is when you would get rid of the Ma'amad during the Ne'ilah and during Mincha. That is when it was more expansive. You were of the view when there was a Korban Eitzim, you only didn't have it for Mincha, but you did have it by Ne'ilah. And Rabbi Yeshua is of the view when there was a Korban Eitzim, you had it for neither Ne'ilah nor Mincha. And once Rabbi Akiva heard that, somebody had the dissenting view that it was Rabbi Yeshua. Chaza Rabbi Akiva, liot shonek ben Azai. Rabbi Akiva changed his view, and he used to teach like Ben Azai had recounted in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Mishnah Hey goes into more detail on the Korban Eitzim. Just historically, what's the basis for the Korban Eitzim? When Klal Yisrael came up from Bavel after the destruction of the first temple and returning from exile to build the Bayi Sheni, the second temple, there was a total lack of wood in which to burn the Korbanos on the Mizbeach. And various families came and they personally donated wood to the Beis HaMikdash. So what we'll see in our Mishnah is that Chazal instituted those families as a gift back to them, as a thank you back to them for having donated the Eitzim, donated the necessary wood to the Beis HaMikdash. Those families and the descendants of those families had the right, the privilege, the mitzvah to each anniversary date in future years when their family initially donated the wood to the Beis HaMikdash, they would also have the privilege to donate wood. So we're going to go through in our Mishnah and have 9 different dates that various families had the right to donate wood to the Beis HaMikdash. So Mishnah Hay says as follows, Man Atze Kohanim Ba'am Tisha. There were 9 days that various Kohanim and other non-Kohanim had the privilege to bring the Korban Eitzim on the calendar days. So now we're going to go through the 9 times. Number 1 is Be'echad Ben Nisan. On the 1st of Nisan, Bnei Arach Ben Yehuda, the descendants of Arach, who was from the Shevet of Yehuda, they would bring the Korban Eitzim. They would donate the wood and also bring the Korban Ola. Along with that, it was a day of festivity for them. Number two is Be'esrim B'Tamuz, on the 20th of Tammuz, B'nei David Ben Yehuda, the descendants of David HaMelech from the Shevet of Yehuda. Number three is B'Chamisha B'Av, on the 5th of Av, B'nei Parosh Ben Yehuda. Number four, B'Shiva Bo, on the 7th of Av, B'nei Yonadab Ben Rechav. Number five, there was a lot of donations during Av, so that's why on the anniversaries of them, we're going to see a lot during Av. Number five is Basarabo on the 10th of Av, B'nei Sna'a ben Binyamin, they had the privilege of bringing the Eitzim, donating further. Number six, B'chamisha Sarbo on the 15th of Av, Tu B'Av, B'nei Zozatu ben Yehuda. This was actually a very small family, so they added in with them various other people who had the privilege to also donate wood. So along with B'nai Zota ben Yehuda, V'imam Kohanim Levim, additional Kohanim and Levim, V'chol Mishata B'Shivto, and anyone else who did not know their Shevet. That's what it means. Literally what it's talking about is other families that had the Mesorah, that they knew their ancestors had donated wood and they also had the privilege, but they didn't know which date they were with. They didn't know which family they were associated with to donate on the other days. So they were all put in together on the Chamisha Sarbo. This is the sixth donation with B'nai Zatu Ben Yehuda. So they all gave together. And in addition, not only those, who had U'B'nai Gunve Eli and B'nai Kotz'e Kitzios. This is a little complicated. At the time of the base of Mikdash, there was a time that the non-Jews, non-Jewish government, they came and decreed against the Jews that they could not do the mitzvah of Bikurim, bringing the first fruit. So this is the family that they were referred to as B'nai Gunve Eli, those who stole the pestle and those who cut the dried figs. And the reason is because when that decree that they weren't allowed to bring the Bikurim, this family was going to go forward with it, and they did it in a very intelligent way. They hid the Bikurim, their first fruits, under dried figs, and they carried with them a large pestle. And when the guards who stopped them, the non-Jewish guards who stopped them from doing the mitzvah Bikurim, they said, "Where do you think you're going?" They said, "We're going to go over there. We're going to go use these pestles to pound our dry figs." And they used the dry figs to cover up their new fruits. And accordingly, they stole the hearts. They stole the minds of the non-Jews. In other words, they were able to defraud them and do the mitzvah. So that's why they were called B'nai Gunve Eli, those who stole the pestle. They used the pestle to steal the knowledge of the non-Jews and get to buy them and do the mitzvah Bikurim. And they were also called the B'nai Kotze Kietzios, those who cut the dry figs, because it was dry figs, cut dry figs that they use in order to cover up their alibi, their story. That was their alibi. And continuing, number seven, Be'esrim Bo, on the 20th of Av, B'nei Pachas Moav Ben Yehuda, that's a family name, from the Shevet Yehuda. Number eight, Be'esrim Be'elul, on the 20th of Elul, B'nei Adin Ben Yehuda. And number nine, Be'achad B'teves, on the first of Teves, Shebo, Shavu B'nei Parosh Shnia, the second time that B'nei Parosh, they had donated twice, so they came and donated a second time. And now we're going to get back to the concept that we saw in the prior Mishnah, that there were times that the Ma'amadot, the special, the Yisraelim that were either in the Beis HaMikdash or outside of the Beis HaMikdash, when they were the group, it was their appointed week, one out of 24 groups, and it was their week of the 24-week cycle to go. And we said that there are various times that they wouldn't have their special Ma'amad, either Tfilas or the Kriya Satorah, during Shachris or Mincha or Ne'ilah. And we're going to see another example of that. We just mentioned that on the first of Teves, that was when there was another Korban Eitzim that was brought by B'nai Parosh the second time. So Be'echad B'Teves on that day, which is a Rosh Chodesh, obviously, the first of Teves, so there was a Korban Musav, Lo Haya Bo Mamad. There was no Mamad at all. Why is that? Because Shehaya Bo Halal, on that day, there was a Halal because it was Chanukah. So once there is Halal in the morning, we don't have a Ma'amad for Shachris, as we said in the prior Mishnah. And also because it was Rosh Chodesh, there was a Korban Musaf. There was a Korban Musaf. Accordingly, as we mentioned previously, when there's a Korban Musaf, that would do away with the Ma'amad for Musaf and Mincha as well. And because there was Korban Eitzim, it was a day that there was a donation of the Eitzim by B'nai Parosh, that also would do away with the Ma'amad for Mincha and also Ne'ilah. So it came back about out that because of the halo for Hanukkah, and it was also a Korban Musaf, and it was also a Korban Esim, that left there with no ma'amad during Shachris, Mincha, Musaf, or Ne'ilah. There was no special Kriya Satorah, special Tefillah by the Anshei Ma'amad, but by the Yisraelim who were there designated in the Beis HaMikdash on that day. In Mishnah Vav, we are moving on from discussing the various fasts that resulted from a lack of rain or various calamities that happened to the tzibur or cities. And we've also discussed the fast days of the Anshei Ma'amad, the Yisraelim that were either in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash at their appointed week, or those that did not make it to Yerushalayim, but they congregated in the various shuls in their cities and also had the Tanesim and the special tefillahs. And then now we're going to talk about two additional fast days that are very prominent on the Jewish calendar. We're going to talk about Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and then Tisha B'Av. So the Mishnah, it's a very famous Mishnah, says as follows, Chamisha Dvarim Eiru Esavoseinu B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. There are five different calamitous events that happened to our ancestors on the 17th of Tammuz, and an additional five, V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av, and an additional five on Tisha B'Av. And now we're going to list the first five for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and then the second five that happened on Tisha B'Av. So the Mishnah says as follows, B'Tisha Asar B'Tammuz Nishtabru Haluchos. The first calamitous event that happened on the 17th of Tammuz is that the first set of Luchos were broken as a result of the Chet HaEgel. Number two, Uvatal HaTamid, the Korban Tamid, which was the daily offering, ceased during the Bayis Rishon. There were no sheep left that could be used for the Korban Tamid as a result of the siege of Yerushalayim that preceded the destruction of the Bayis Rishon. Number three, Vehufka Ha'ir, the wall of Yerushalayim was breached by the Roman army that was on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz 3 weeks before the destruction of the Bayis Sheni, of the second temple. Number four was Vesarav Aphostomos Es HaTorah, Aphostomos, who is a Greek general during the Greek occupation of Eretz Yisrael during Bayis Sheni. He burned the Sefer Torah, and it wasn't just a regular Sefer Torah, it was the special Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra HaSofer. This was the most authentic Sefer Torah. This was the gold standard that they would compare and check other Sefer Torah against. It was the most accurate Sefer Torah. So Apostomus, as we just said, Saraf Apostomus Esatorus, Apostomus burned that Sefer Torah. And number five, in addition, Apostomus Harasha Ve'emit Tzelem Be'Heichal, he placed an idol in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. And then moving on, B'Tisha B'Av, what happened, five events that happened on Tisha B'Av. Number one was Nigzar Alavoseinu Shlo Yikantu La'aretz Kar Avos, our ancestors, the decree when they were in the Midbar, at the beginning of the sojourn in the Midbar, it was decreed as a result of the Chet HaMaraglim and Parsha Shlach, the spies, the 10 spies that gave a negative report about the land of Israel, that it was decreed that they would not go into Eretz Yisrael immediately for every day that the spies were in Eretz Yisrael. There was a year that was allocated, so it was 40 years of the Midbar till that generation died out, and then Klal Yisrael could go into Eretz Yisrael. And number two, that happened on Tisha B'Av, Acharav HaBayis Barishona, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and also the third event that happened in Bashnia, the second Beis HaMikdash was also destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And number four, V'nilkada Beisar was conquered, and the people living in Beis Tar, the thousands and thousands of righteous Jews were killed. This was at the time of Bar Kokhba's revolt, that initially he was successful against the Roman army, but then he encountered a number of defeats and withdrew into Beitar, and eventually the entire Beitar was destroyed and everyone was massacred. So that was the fourth event that happened on Tisha B'Av, in Nechrasha Ha'ir, and also the city of Yerushalayim was plowed by Turnus Rufus, who was the general of the Romans after the destruction of the Bayis Sheni. And then the Mishnah concludes with the known but sad concept of Mishenichnas Av, Mimatin Besimcha. When Av comes in, the month of Av comes, we decrease our simcha. It's brought lahalacha in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura, various things that we have to do to decrease simcha during the month of Av, including that we don't get engaged And we also don't get engaged, but we don't get engaged, involved in business transactions of simcha. For example, making commitments when it comes to weddings, buying things for the weddings. We don't build if that building is for purposes of simcha. For example, building a vacation home, or adding on to for our enjoyment in an existing place, or a building a house for a chasen and kala. We also don't plant trees for simcha. We don't get married. We don't have parties for engagements. All of those are because of mishenichnas av mima'atin b'simcha. These are not the only fast days that we have to commemorate the calamities of Klal Yisrael. As we mentioned, we have the 17th of Tammuz. We have also Tisha B'Av, but we also have Tzom Gedalia and Aseret B'Teves. All of that is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Those are all because of the various terrible events that occurred to our ancestors. Mishnah Zayin discusses the various forms of Avelus that we have on Tisha B'Av and Shavua Shechal Bo, which is the week that Tisha B'Av falls. Especially Ashkenazim nowadays, we are much more machmir on what we are about to see, that there are forms of the Avelus that we start as early as 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av on Shivas Arba Tammuz. For example, not getting haircuts and shaving during the 3 weeks. There are other forms of the Avelus that we start on Rosh Chodesh Av. For example, not eating meat, not drinking wine, not doing laundry. So there are various minhagim that have been extended based on this Mishnah. Especially the Ashkenazim are much more machmir than the Sfaradim. Sfaradim stick more with the Ikar Din, although they have extended it as well, but Ashkenazim have extended it dramatically more. So we're just seeing the Ikar Din in Mishnah Zayin. This is not how we paskin or how we are noheg. Mishnah Zayin says as follows: Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocho. That is the week. It doesn't mean the Shabbos, but the week that Tisha B'Av falls in it. That's called Shavua Shechal Bo. For example, if Tisha B'Av would fall on a Wednesday, the entire week is Shavua Shechal Bo up until Wednesday. And in fact, many of the minhagim continue not only till Tisha B'Av, but into the 10th of Av as well. Into that Thursday would be in our example. And interestingly, Sfaradim are more machmir on the 10th than our Ashkenazim. So they will continue many of the minhagim of Avelus the entire day of the 10th, whereas Ashkenazim will keep those minhagim up until Chatzos Hayom, midday. So we'll go through the Mishnah now, but that's just to be borne in mind when it comes to how we are actually noheg. So Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocho Shavua Shechal Bo Asur Milasaper. We do not take haircuts. We don't shave on Shavua Shechal Bo Milikabes. We also don't do kfisa. We don't do laundry. Ubachamishi, however, if Tisha B'Av would fall on Friday. This doesn't happen nowadays, but if Tisha B'Av would happen on Friday, then on Thursday, the day before Tisha B'Av, b'chamishi mutarin mipnei kvod haShabbos, it would be permitted indeed to do laundry for kvod haShabbos. We wouldn't be able to do it on Friday, which would be the fast, but for kvod haShabbos to have clean clothing, it would be lenient, even though it's Shavua Shechal Bo, but we would be permitted to do kfisa, to do the laundry, the kavod Shabbos. Continuing on in the Mishnah, Erev Tisha B'Av. Now we're not talking about Shavua Shechal Bo, but we've moved on to Erev Tisha B'Av, the day before Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av is going to start that night. So Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin, on the Suda Mafsekes, which is the last meal that we have in the afternoon, don't eat two cooked items. That is our minhag, to have a suda mafsekes with just one cooked item. We have the suda, meaning we wash a piece of bread, and we have something that represents avelus. Could be a cooked egg, not a fried egg, but a hard-boiled egg, and we put it in ash. That would be the one cooked item. We don't have two cooked items. We're not having a meal. We're having a suda mafsekes representing avelus. Some people in place of the egg will have lentils, also representing the roundness of life, that life is a spectrum and continues, and life begins and life ends. So that is Erev Tisha B'Av, the suda mafsekes. Lo yochal basar, also, we don't eat meat, v'lo yishta yayin, we also don't have wine. That, as we mentioned, the minhag of Ashkenazim, and it's the entire Tisha Yamin, the entire 9 days from Rosh Chodesh Av. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he doesn't hold exactly by the calculus, the tests that we just said. You don't have any wine or you don't have any meat, but rather yeshana, make a change from your norm so you see that this is avelus. In other words, if you normally have three pieces of meat, have two. Diminish, decrease what you normally have. If usually you have two cups of wine, have one cup. That is not how we paskin. We paskin that we don't have meat, we don't have wine, certainly on Erev, Erev Tisha B'Av, but even the entire 9 days for Ashkenazim. Rabbi Yehuda Mechai B'Kfiyas Hamita. Rabbi Yehuda had another Hanhaga. He obligated them to turn over their beds on the night of Tisha B'Av. For Tisha B'Av to sleep, you have to sleep on the floor. V'lo hodu lo chachamim. Chachamim didn't agree with that chumra. But in fact, it is the minhag that many people have to make our sleeping less comfortable. So, for example, some do sleep on the floor. Some are noig to sleep on the floor, but others, if they typically sleep with one pillow, they'll sleep with no pillows. Or if you sleep with two pillows, sleep with one pillow. So, just to be less comfortable, this is not a day of comfort. This is a day of avelus. Mishnah Ches ends off our Masechta, all about various calamities and fast days, on a positive note. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Lohayu Yamim Tovim Li Yisrael. There were no days that were as great for Klal Yisrael Kachamisha Asar Be'av, Tu Be'av, Ukiyom HaKippurim, and Yom Kippur, when our tshuva Bezras Hashem is accepted. Shebahem Benos Yushalayim Yotzas, on those days Benos Yushalayim, the single women, it's the single girls of Eretz Yisrael, of literally of Yushalayim, but it applied not only in Yushalayim, Yotzas Bechli Lavan Shulim, they would go out in white borrowed clothing. Why would they borrow from somebody else? Shelo levayesh es mishenlo, in order to not embarrass the girls who did not have their own nice clothing. So they did like a musical chairs of clothing to ensure that no one was embarrassed. Even people who had their own clothing, they had to hand it off and borrow somebody else's. Kol ha-kelim tunin tefillah. Accordingly, you didn't know whose kelim, whose clothing you were getting. Maybe she was in nida and the clothing was tame, so they had to be tovel all of the clothing before wearing it. And what would they do on Tu B'Av? Benos Yerushalayim yotzos v'cholos b'kramim. The single women of Yerushalayim, they would go out and dance in the vineyards. Umahan hayu omros. And what would they say? So the beautiful ones would say, bachur, young men. The men used to come out in order to find their shidduch, to find their besheret. So the beautiful girls would say, bachurim, bachur, sana inechure, come take a look, ma taborelecha, what are you choosing? I'm a beautiful girl, choose me for at least for my beauty. And those that did not have beauty would say as follows, alti ten inecha benoi, don't pay attention to beauty, that's not what is important in life. Ten inecha b'mishpacha, pay attention to the mishpacha, I come from a good family, I come from a yichustik family. And those that had neither good looks or yichus would say, number three, as follows, Sheker achen behevel ayofi, don't pay attention, vain is beauty. Isha yiras Hashem hisi salal, you have to find the yiras shamayim, that is what is praiseworthy. And also similarly, v'omer tnula mipriadeh, give to her from the fruits of her hand, that is a reference to yiras shamayim, that's something that a woman works hard at and men work hard at, and you can create from your hands to become a yirei shamayim, v'yaluluha, and praise her b'asharim, and the gates maseha, praise her for her deeds. That's talking about the great deeds that a woman and a man should have as well. V'cheinu omer, now we're going to talk about Yom Kippur being such a great day. Tse'ena ure'ena, the Pasuk says, go out and see Benos Tion, daughters of Zion, B'melech Shlomo, literally the king of Shlomo, but it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who brings shalom, who brings peace to the world, brings peace to Klal Yisrael, Ba'atara Shitra Lo Imo, the crown that he was crowned on that day, B'yom Chasuna, so literally the day of his marriage, U'B'yom Simcha Slibo, and the day of his Simcha. Now we're going to have a drasha that is referring, both of those phrases of B'yom Chasuna So and Yom Simcha Slibo are both referring to Yom Kippur. B'yom Chasuna So is Zo Matan Torah, is referring to the Matan Torah when the Luchas Shnias were given by Moshe, came down with the second set of Luchas. That was on Yom Kippur. That was Matan Torah. Uv'yom Simchas Libo, on the day of Simcha, Zobinyan Beis HaMikdash, this is the dedication of the first Beis HaMikdash. One of the days of the dedication included Yom Kippur as well. So that's why it says, B'yom Simchas Libo, great day of Simcha, Zobinyan Beis HaMikdash. And then the Mishnah, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, adds off with the following, Shibane Bimheira B'yameinu Amen, that we should be Zocha, that the Beis HaMikdash should be built speedily in our days.